Now, many, many people knew about the Rambam. He was famous because people that came to the king of Mitzrayim, to the Sultan, and they heard about the Rambam, how he was such a good doctor. Well, when they went home, they went back to their countries, and they told their kings about the Rambam. They said, King, don't you wish you had a good doctor like the Rambam? Instead of not feeling good and you have a good doctor who doesn't know what kind of medicine to give you and make your boo-boos feel better? The king said, yes, but you know, the Rambam is the doctor for the Sultan. He can't be everywhere a doctor. It's hard to find such a good doctor. Well, one time, Kinalach, there was another king, a different king, close to Mitzrayim, and this king hated Jews. He hated Jews. But he became very, very sick. He was laying in bed, he was screaming and crying, and his own doctors came to help him, and they tried to give him the medicines, and the shots, and the pills, and the creams, and nothing worked. And this king, Kenelech, became more and more sick until his doctors said he's going to die. Finally, somebody said, what about the Rambam? He is the king's doctor of Mitzrayim. He is the Sultan's doctor. Mitzrayim is not too far away. Let's ask the Rambam to come here to help our king. Now, as much as this king hated Jews and didn't want a Jew to be in his palace, since he was so sick, he's willing to try anything. And the king says, bring the Rambam here. I'll try anything. I'll even let a Jew try to help me. They called the Rambam to go on an emergency to help this king nearby to Mitzrayim. And the king of Mitzrayim, the Sultan, gave him reshus to go. And the Rambam went, and he went to the king. The other doctors watched. They thought to themselves, what does this doctor know that we don't know? How come we can't make the king better? What does he know to make the king better if we can't do it? Sure enough, Kinalach, since the Rambam was such a good, special doctor, and of course, what makes a person to be a doctor in the first place? Because he has Hashem's help. Hashem sends him Malach Rafoil. Malach Rafoil, like the name Rafoil, is like the word Rafuah. He's the doctor Malach. You go to a doctor's office over there, it's not just the secretary sitting there and the doctor over there and the medicines. It's Malach Rafoil who's in the doctor's office. And he gives the koyach and he gives the smartness in the doctor and the koyach and the medicine to be able to do all of these things. Now, Hashem sent his special malachim and his special koyach to help the Rambam to be an extra special doctor. And of course, the Rambam learned Torah, and all smartness comes from the Torah, as well as studying all the doctor things and all the doctor books, so he could figure out all kinds of things. And sure enough, the Rambam made special medicine for the king, and he was about to give it to the king. And he says to the king, King, I know you don't like Jews, and in fact, I know you hate Jews. Please promise me one thing before I give you this medicine, because it's going to make you better. When you get better, please do not kill me. After all, I'm helping you. I'm saving your life. At least don't kill me. And let me go back to my family and back to the king of Mitzrayim and let me leave here in peace and don't do anything to hurt me. And the king was by this time very shvach. And he said to the Rambam, I promise that I will not kill you. Okay? He promised the Rambam. The Rambam now gives him the medicine, a spoonful of the medicine, some pink stuff that he made, and it would even tasted good. And the king swallowed it, and the other doctors were watching. They think, how does this pink stuff help if all of our other stuff didn't help, all of our medicines? Sure enough, Kinalak, a few minutes later, the king felt so much better. And as a few hours went by, the king had a refuah shlema, and he got out of bed, and he got dressed up in his king's outfit again with his crown and all of his beautiful things, and he sat on his throne again, and he felt very, very good. And now, the Rambam, Kinalach, saved the life of the king. And now the king asked the Rambam, look, I'm afraid that I might get sick again, because after all, I was so sick. Please stay a little bit longer in my palace, a few days, maybe a couple of weeks, to make sure that I'm fine. I promised I won't kill you, I won't touch you, I won't hurt you. Please stay here to make sure that I will get not only better, but I'll stay better. And then please go back to Mitzrayim. Okay? The king of Mitzrayim gave reshus for the Rambam to stay, and the Rambam stayed. But of course there was a problem, because the other doctors were very jealous. Every time the king wanted a doctor, who does he call? The Rambam. And of course, since the king is talking with the Rambam, he sees how smart the Rambam is, and he sees how the Rambam knows so many things, so he's talking to him. And the Rambam is now sitting next to the king instead of the other officers and the other doctors. And the king calls the Rambam for other things, and so all of the officers were very, very jealous. Especially the Mishneh LeMelech. Now, what's a Mishneh LeMelech? The highest officer is called a Mishneh LeMelech. Mishneh means the second, LeMelech to the king. The second to the king is the Mishneh LeMelech. Who usually does the king call when he needs somebody? I don't mean a doctor, I mean an officer. The highest of the officers is the Mishneh LeMelech. And the problem was, when the king would call the Mishneh LeMelech and he'd ask him questions, the Mishneh LeMelech would scratch his head and he wouldn't exactly know the answer, and he'd say, well, I think this and I think that, but I'm not so sure, and maybe I'll think about it for a while. And he says, I'll come back in a couple hours and tell you the answer. And in the meantime, the king called the Rambam and he asked him the same question, and the Rambam says the answer right on the spot. The king asks a question, the Rambam gives an answer. The king asks another question, the Rambam gives another answer. And by the time the king asked 20 questions and the Rambam gave 20 answers, the Mishneh LeMelech came back, still scratching his head, and he brings a whole pile of papers and a whole pile of books, and he's still trying to figure out the answer to the first question. And the king says to the Mishneh LeMelech, it's okay, I got the answer to that and 20 other questions. And by the way, what's your answer? And he would answer something, and of course it was completely verkehrt, and the king told him how it was opposite of the answer. And the Mishneh LeMelech was very embarrassed because he didn't know the answer, and his face turned red. And by this time, the Rambam and the king were talking about other things. And so especially the Mishneh LeMelech was very, very jealous. And he couldn't stand the Rambam, that a Jew had such covet. And he told the other officers, and they decided they have to make a plan to get rid of the Rambam. No, the Mishneh LeMelech was not a Yid. And it wasn't just enough that he should go back to Mitzrayim, the Rambam, because they had friends that were officers by the Sultan that were also jealous of the Rambam. Because the officers by this king had friends that were also officers by the Sultan of Mitzrayim. And everybody couldn't stand the Rambam. They were all jealous. And everybody wanted the Rambam out. So from this king, they wanted him out of their palace. And their friends by the Sultan of Mitzrayim wanted the Rambam out of their palace. So they decided once and for all, they made a big meeting one night in one of the officers' homes, in the basement, so nobody knew about it. It was a top secret meeting. And they decided once and for all, they'll get rid of the Rambam. That's it. And nobody will have to be jealous anymore. Nobody will have to be embarrassed anymore. And they can get away with not knowing the answers. And the kings won't be able to do anything because they can't find anybody smart enough to answer them. And finished. No more Rambam. What are they going to do? the Mishnah Lamelech had a plan. He said, look, our king really hates Jews. He really can't stand them. Only he promised the Rambam he's not going to kill them. I'll talk to the king. I'll explain it's not so bad if he breaks his promise. And we'll figure out a way to get rid of the Rambam, and that's it. No problem. Okay. And the next day, the Mishnah Lamelech, he goes to the king, and he says, King, how can you stand this Jew, the Rambam, every day in your palace? How can you stand that? With a yarmulke, with a beard, with those strings coming out of his pants, and he doesn't eat the food that we eat here, and he learns those books with the funny writing in it, and you see him standing next to the wall over there, talking with a book in his hand to the wall. How can you take all of these things? And he takes sometimes money and puts it into a can. King, why do you want this in your palace anyway? Get rid of this Rambam anyway. You don't need a Jew in your palace. But the king says, the Rambam saved my life. Get rid of the Rambam. Why don't you get rid of him? Don't you hate Jews, king? Come on. Why do you have to have the Rambam here? And the king says, well, I promised. Okay, the Mishnah Lamelech says, if you don't get rid of the Rambam once and for all, I'm going to take all of my officer friends and all of my general friends and all of the armies, because they're all my friends, and I'm going to make myself the king, and you no longer will be the king. We're going to throw you out of the palace, and you'll have to go work at the gas station. And I'll sit on the throne, and I'll be the king. And all the officers will be on my side. And I'll go into the treasure house and take out your silver and gold, and we'll take it for ourselves, and you'll have nothing to do. You'll have to go out of the palace to the gas station. And the king started to cry, no, don't do that. I want to be the king. I want to be the king. Because the king was really afraid of this Mishnah Lamelech. Okay, the Mishnah Lamelech says, I'll leave you alone. You have to do what I say. Get rid of the Rambam once and for all, and I have a plan of how to do it. The Mishnah Lamelech says like this, since the Rambam is your doctor, and you also made him one of your officers, because anybody who's in the palace and he's talking to the king so much and giving the king different advice and talking about smart things is one of the king's officers. Therefore, you can ask the Rambam to do other jobs as well, not just to be your doctor. You can ask him to do anything you want. And whatever the king commands, the Rambam must do. Right, king? The king says, right, that's right. I'm the king. Whatever I say goes. Anyone has to listen, of course. Okay. I have a very, very good idea. You tell the Rambam, or you send him a letter to his house since he already went home, that tomorrow morning he has to go and he has to inspect the oven, the gigantic oven. He has to look at the king's oven. Now, let me explain about the king's oven. Near the palace was a gigantic big oven, like a big building. And inside was a whole room, and they used to fill it with burning hot wood and burning hot rocks. And over there, they used to bake all kinds of things. If the king had a party, they used to bake a lot of bread and a lot of cakes, or his fleisch, or his chickens, or his kugels, or his royal noodles, whatever they used to put in there. Because sometimes the king would make a big, gigantic party for a lot of people, and they need a big oven in order to bake everything, so everything was very hot. And once in a while, like anything, it has to be checked to see if the oven is working good. Now, recently, when the king would have a party, people complained, the bread is not so baked good, the cake is a little bit raw inside, the bagels are not so, they're not so crunchy on the outside. They don't taste so good usually. Over here, the king's parties, usually he has the best cake and cookies. It doesn't taste the same. Well, maybe the oven is not working so good, said the king. We have to get the oven fixed. Well, nobody fixed the oven yet. Nobody inspected it yet to see what's wrong. Everybody knows that the king's oven is not working 100%. So send the Rambam and tell him in the morning, go to inspect the oven. You're a smart man, you're a smart officer, you know how things work. You know all about fires, and you know all about buildings, and you know all about all kinds of smart things in the world. You go check the oven to see what's wrong. Other officers, they took a look, they couldn't figure out. The Rambam is so smart. He'll look at the oven, he'll figure out what's wrong, and he'll come back and tell the king what's wrong. Now, the Mishnah HaMelech says, overnight, we will get the oven burning hot with a lot of hot burning wood and a lot of burning rocks, and it's going to be 1,000 degrees in there. You will send the officer of the oven. There is an officer who also takes care of the oven all the time. He, of course, can't figure out what's wrong in the oven. But he stands and guards the oven and takes care of it, and he's in charge of putting things in and taking things out. You will tell him that the first person that comes in the morning into the building of the oven should be thrown into the oven. Don't ask any questions. Just pick him up and throw him into the oven. Now, there are two commands that are given to the two officers. The Rambam has been commanded in the morning to go and look at the oven to see what's wrong with it, to inspect it. And the officer of the oven has been commanded to throw the first person in the building that comes in the morning into the oven, not asking any questions, doesn't matter who it is. And these two commands will come together to get rid of the Rambam, because when he walks into that building, the officer of the oven, a big, strong man, will just walk over to the Rambam, pick him up, throw him into the hot burning oven that was burning the whole night with burning wood and burning rocks. And that will be the end of the Rambam. You don't have to worry about your promise, because the Rambam won't be around anymore. And you won't have to have any more Jews in your palace. And of course, I won't make you any trouble. I'll let you sit on the throne, and I'll let you wear the crown, and I'll let you wear your nice robes, and I'll let you make all your parties and have all your toys and all your king's things and everything. And I won't bother you, of course, as long as, of course, you pay me a lot of silver and gold. Ah, okay, says the king. It's a good idea. Okay, it's a good idea. Okay, they called for the scribes who write down the king's commands. And one scribe wrote a letter to the Rambam. You must come first thing in the morning to the palace, and you must go to the building of the oven, and you must inspect it to check it out to see what's going on over there. Why isn't it not working so good? The king is planning to make a party, and he wants to bake a lot of things in the oven. So you go and inspect it to figure out what's wrong. That was one command sent to the Rambam. The other one, the scribe wrote to the officer of the oven, tomorrow morning, the first person that walks into the building, don't ask any questions. Pick him up. Throw him into the oven. Finished. Signed, the king. These two commands went out, Kinalach, and that was it. Now, what happened? As we know, before I even start this part of the story, what happens to a yid is not just because of what kings say or kings do, or just the way the world goes. Who decides what happens to a yid or what doesn't happen to a yid? Hashem. Hashem, Kinalach. A yid is in Hashem's hands. Even, lahavdil, non-Jews are also in Hashem's hands. Hashem runs the whole world. Everything that happens is because of what's called hashkacha pratis. It's because Hashem wants it to happen. Now, especially a yid who learns Torah and does mitzvahs, because he's trying hard for Hashem. What happens when a Yid tries hard for Hashem and he tries special to make Hashem happy? You know what Hashem does in return? Hashem doesn't just ignore it, Chas v'Shalom. Hashem sees everything a person does. A person that tries hard for Hashem, who goes out of his way for Hashem, and who tries to make Hashem happy, Hashem, he makes him happy. Hashem tries hard for the person. Hashem goes out of his way to help in special ways, as we're going to see. What happened the next morning? Okay, I'll tell you. Overnight, the messenger from the palace had put the letter in the Rambam's door. It was late, and the Rambam will see it first thing in the morning, laying on the floor over there, like a piece of mail in an envelope, and he sees a letter signed by the king. It's got the king's signature to the Rambam. The Rambam sees that this is a command from the king. Now, he found it by his door as he was getting ready to go to shul to daven. He had his talis and his tefillin in his hand. He was ready to go to the shul to daven before he goes to the palace. And all of a sudden he sees the envelope there. He bends down. He opens it up. And he reads, Rambam, first thing in the morning, you must go to the building of the oven and inspect the oven. Now, when the king gives a command, it's very exact. You have to follow it exactly like it says, or else you're considered to be a rebel against the king, which means you go against the king and you're in big danger. The Rambam paid attention exactly to what it says. First thing in the morning, you must obey what the king says, right? This is the first thing in the morning. All of a sudden, the Rambam thinks to himself, wait a minute. The king is telling me to go the first thing in the morning to go to the oven. But there's another king also, Kinalach. There's a bigger king than that king. Who is the biggest king of all the kings? Hashem. What does Hashem say to do first thing in the morning before you go and do your business, you go and do things? You go to daven. Well, he already said Maidiani because I already woke up. First in the morning, before you go and do the business of anybody else, you take care of Hashem's business, which is davening. First, the Rambam knows he has to go daven, and then he will go to the palace of the king. And so, Kinalach, the Rambam went to the shul, and the Rambam davened the way you're supposed to daven, and the Rambam finished davening. As he was folding up his talis and he was putting away his tefillin and he was getting ready to leave shul to go to the palace, all of a sudden, a man came into the shul crying. He was very, very upset about something and he looked very poor. And he sat down on a bench and he was just sitting there crying. The Rambam goes over to him because he sees a person feels like this. He needs something. I mean, you go over, you just don't. You don't just leave him there. You have to go find out what's wrong. The Rambam asks him, what's wrong? The man says, 8 days ago, my wife had a baby boy, our first little boy. Today is supposed to be the bris. The baby's at home, and we don't have a moil. We're too poor. We felt embarrassed because, first of all, we didn't want to just ask a moel to come for free. We wanted to be able to give him something. We don't have any money to give him. We have no money for a suda, only to buy bread. We were embarrassed to invite people because we don't have a nice suda. And the baby's at home. The mommy's at home. We really have nothing. We have no moel. And how are we going to make the bris? The Rambam said to the man, look, I'll tell you, first of all, the main thing is the mitzvah to make the bris milah, and it's not to make a beautiful suda. Okay. Don't let one thing, chas v'shalom, make the other thing that you shouldn't be able to do it. I happen to be a moyel. The Rambam knew how to be a moyel. He was a moyel. He knew how to make a bris milah according to halacha. I will come to your house and I will gladly do the bris milah. As for the suda, don't worry. We'll gather 10 yidin. We'll wash. We'll make a maitzi. And don't worry, we'll get some wine also for benching on the wine. And we'll do the bris milah according to the Torah. If you don't have all the beautiful things and you don't have a gansa mais over there, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And the moil doesn't have to cost money. I'll gladly do it for the mitzvah. Don't worry about it. Do Hashem's mitzvah and don't worry about it. And the man was so happy. You mean you'll come and you'll do that for me? The Rambam says, sure, don't worry. And the man took the Rambam to his house. They found 10 yidden that could come over for a while to be a minion over there, to make the bris milah with a minion and to make the sudas mitzvah with a minion. The Rambam made the bris milah on the baby. They washed. They ate a suda. They sang a few nigunim. And it was very beautiful and very nice. They did all the things that the Torah says to do. And then at the end, by the benching kandalach, they wanted to give the Rambam the kavod of benching on a kois of wine, a kois shel bracha. When you bench in a minyan, you should bench on a cup of wine. The Rambam kandalach took the wine, he made boyer priya gofen, and he drank the wine, and it happened to be very strong wine. Some wine is not so strong, some wine is very strong. The Rambam drank enough wine to make a bracha achrayna. He got up from the table. He wants to get his talis and tefillin. He has to go and leave the house now. And he has to go kinalach to the palace to do the command of the king. Of course, why didn't he go yet? Because he sees these mitzvahs came up. He just couldn't leave these mitzvahs. These are mitzvahs from Hashem, the king of all kings. He couldn't leave these mitzvahs and go do just the mitzvahs of the other king. First, he knew that he has to take care of Hashem's mitzvahs. He got up to go, but kinalach, the Rambam was very dizzy and very tired because he drank this very strong wine. He knew that he will not be able to go and now do anything before he lies down for a little while. He has to lie down, he has to sleep a little bit before he's able to go because the wine mamish went to his head. The Rambam lay down, he went to sleep, and since the wine was very strong, the Rambam slept for a few hours. He was sleeping for a few hours. And when he woke up, it was already the afternoon. Oy vey, the Rambam says, I didn't yet do what the king said to do. I did what Hashem said to do, Baruch Hashem. But I didn't do what the king, the regular king, said to do. I better get going, because that king doesn't like Jews. And there's no telling what he could do to me. If he loses his temper, if he pops his cork, there's no telling what he could do to me. And now, kinalach, the Rambam went. And now, we're going to see how everything is from Hashem, everything is for the good. And when you do Hashem's mitzvahs, and you do what the Torah says, everything works out for the best. Even though you can't tell sometimes until later. Let's go back to the palace, to the Mishnah Lamelech. That morning he woke up. Oh, was he happy? Ooh, I'm so happy. Today is going to be the end of the Rambam. He is going to get thrown in that oven this morning. And that's going to be the end of the Rambam. Oh, I can hardly wait. I'm so excited. We'll be rid of the Rambam once and for all. And when he got up and he got out of his pajamas into his uniform and he went to work in the palace, the other officers, they came over and said to each other, yeah, today, oh, it's going to be good. No more Rambam. Oh, we're so happy. Oh. They got there early in the morning because they wanted to hear the news. When the officer of the oven comes in to say that he did his job, because they put that in the letter. When you get done doing what you're supposed to do, come and tell the king you did your job. Oh, when we see him, to come and tell the king he did his job, we're going to be so happy. and even planned to make a party for themselves to rejoice and to have a good time with cookies and donuts and all kinds of good stuff to drink. And they'll make little party hats and games, and they're going to make a big party to celebrate that the Rambam, Chas V'Shalom, was finished. And they're waiting in the morning for the officer of the oven to come and tell the king that the job was done. The morning is going on, and the officer of the oven is not coming. And the Mishnah Lamelech says to his friends, listen, the Rambam was commanded to come first thing in the morning and go over there, and I'm sure the officer threw him in. Well, so why didn't the officer come and tell us already he did his job? It's already the morning. It's not only the first thing in the morning, it's the second and third thing in the morning already. So why didn't he come? And the Mishnah Lamelech was getting anspielkes. He was getting impatient. Man, what's going on over there? Maybe the officer of the oven forgot, or maybe, who knows, maybe he's not doing what the king said, or maybe, who knows what happened, maybe he doesn't feel good, so he can't come. I want to find out already. I want to find out, and I want to see. In fact, I want to look in the oven, and I want to see that the Rambam got burned up. I want to see myself, and I'll come back, and we'll make our party, we'll have a good party, we'll